2008 at 10:40 a.m. Central Time. Conference leader of AMSH.
This is the ground station that we are going to be using, and Nancy is right here with some of the students and Dick Flagg, who also is assisting today.
WorldCom, are our lines open yet?
Yes, they are, sir.
All right. Well, let us go ahead with your permission, Frank.
Go ahead, Roy.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody. This is Roy Neal, K6DUE, for ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. In just a few minutes, we hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station, flying more than 200 miles above the Earth over the Pacific Ocean. The station currently is nearing the Hawaiian Islands, and it's whizzing along at around 17,500 miles an hour. This will truly be an historic contact. It marks the 100th anniversary of the first international radio transmission. On this date in 1903, Guglielmo Marconi sent the first message. Greetings from then-President Theodore Roosevelt to England's King Edward VII. His station was at Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And today, at that site, students from four Cape Cod high schools have been selected to talk with Commander Kenneth Bowersox aboard the space station. They represent thousands of teachers, students, ham radio operators brought together by the National Park Service for this centennial event. Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, is our AMSAT mentor at the Cape. And Frank, who's with you there in Massachusetts?
We have a huge crowd here of over 250, probably closer to 300 people in the audience here, Roy.
And tell me about the schools that will be taking part.
I'll turn that over to Barbara, who will Barbara Dugan, who's the sponsor here at Cape Cod.
Hello, I'm KB1GSO, trustee for KM1CC, the Marconi Cape Cod Radio Club. We've invited three high schools to join us: Nauset Regional High School, the Cape Cod Vocational School, and Provincetown High School. And they are eager to join us today. They've been participating in NASA education programs and learning about space education and communications for the future.
And we're anxious to hear from them, too. Now, I should comment also that ARIS is a consortium of nine nations that operate amateur radio on the International Space Station. The stateside members are the American Radio Relay League, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and NASA. The ground station is WH6PN in Honolulu, operated by Nancy Rochelieu and Dick Flagg, AH6NM. Pretty early in the morning for you, isn't it, Nancy and Dick?
Yes, Roy. It's about 6:54 here in the Hawaiian Islands.
6:54. How's your weather in Hawaii? Because we've got it pretty cold around most of the United States.
It's pretty comfortable here. It's in the low 70s.
And you're at the Sacred Hearts Academy, I believe?
Yes, we're at the Sacred Hearts Academy Radio Club Station.
And at the moment, we're communicating through a worldwide communications network, which is donated by WorldCom. We're some 4 minutes away from contact time, and that gives us time to check in with the schools once again. Frank Bauer, tell us a little more about those schools that are taking part with you there today.
Okay, I will turn that over to Barbara, but before I do, I just want to ask Terry at WorldCom, are the tapes rolling at this point?
Yes, they are, sir.
Thank you very much. Barbara?
Nauset Regional School System has students from the towns of Chatham, Brewster, Eastham, Orleans, Wellfleet, Truro, and some students from Provincetown attend as well. The Harwich Vocational School, the Cape Cod School, has students from 9 communities on Cape Cod attending it.
My goodness, how did you choose those who were going to be on the air out of that big group?
Well, we let the schools choose students based upon their interest. It was not academic achievement. It was interest in participating in this program. We're very proud to have them all here.
Outside of the schools and the students, anyone else with you there? Any politicians, any media, that sort of thing?
Well, there's a few people around me.
A few people such as?
Maria Burks from Cape Cod National Seashore, Marie Rust, the director of the North Atlantic Regional Office for the National Park Service, Edie Adair from our Public Affairs Office, and we have some people from the ARRL here.
Terrific.
Well as many local amateur radio operators.
Nancy Rochelieu, you're stationed in Hawaii, and we've worked through you many times before. Tell us about where you are and how you plan to handle this conversation.
Okay, thank you, Roy. Sacred Hearts Academy is an all-girls school, and several of the club members helped to prepare the station this morning for the contact. We have a school radio club with about 10 to 15 members, and how I'm going to handle the call. About 30 seconds before the space station is predicted to rise above our horizon, I will begin trying to establish contact. I will be using my amateur call, WH6PN, to contact the International Space Station, NA1SS. As soon as I have established contact, I will say, go ahead, Princess, after I greet and talk with Commander Bowersox. I would like to remind the participants at Cape Cod to speak clearly, and it is very important that each speaker say over when they are finished. We may experience a brief signal fade about 6 minutes into the pass. The pass should last about 10 minutes. Just before the anticipated losing contact, I will let you know, and at this point you may wish to say a group goodbye.
That'll be interesting. How far out are we right now, Nancy? How long until contact?
1 minute, 30 seconds.
Beg pardon?
1 minute, 27 seconds.
Which would put that spacecraft right now just coming up on the coast of Hawaii, wouldn't it?
Yes.
We can visualize it. We can see you out there. And so with just about a minute to work with, why don't we turn this over to you and from this point in, let you handle the whole affair. You have some distinguished people ready to talk to some distinguished people, and all of us are all yours.
One minute. Yeah. 50 seconds.
Always the long wait.
Yeah. 40 seconds. 31 seconds on beginning the call. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu, calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu, calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PM. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, we hear you weakly. Would you please call again? This is WH6PN. Over. Commander Bowersox, we hear you loud and clear. The questions will be in the same order. However, the student names may change. This contact will begin with a greeting from Princess Marconi. Go ahead, Princess, or go ahead, Commander Bowersox, and then I'll connect in the Princess.
Hey, great. Hello, everyone.
Go ahead, Princess.
My name is Elettra Marconi. 100 years ago today, my father, Guglielmo Marconi, sent the first wireless message across the Atlantic Ocean from Cape Cod. In this same spirit of his achievement, and also from Cape Cod, I send this wireless greeting to you in space. Cordial greetings, good wishes, and God bless you. Over.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to hear your voice carried across the radio waves, and it's amazing how far society and radio communication has come in the last 100 years.
Go ahead, Cape Cod.
Hello, this is Zach. As a researcher for the future, what is the main goal of your trip and what do you hope to discover? Over.
Well, we have a lot of different goals on the trip, but I think what I hope will come out of the flights that we're doing to the International Space Station is knowledge about man's adaptability to living in space and in weightless conditions. And hopefully that'll help us leave Earth and move out to other planets someday.
Hi, my name is Jessica. What academic choices helped you qualify to be an astronaut? Over.
Well, for me, I wanted to be a pilot astronaut, so I took an engineering curriculum in college and became a Navy pilot. There are a lot of other options, but most require some sort of technical background in the sciences, medicine. And now we have a new class of astronaut, the educator astronaut. Over.
Hi, this is Cooper Claycamp, and I want to know, what are the distances and speeds involved in travel to the space station? Over.
Well, we're currently going about 17,000 miles per hour, which sounds really, really fast. But if you think about it, it only took 8.5 minutes for us to get into orbit on the space shuttle. And when we fly overhead, we're only about 240 miles up. So we're really not that far away. 8.5 minutes, that's like a trip to the grocery store. Over.
Hi, this is Cody. What kind of cameras or other sensors do you use to take pictures of Earth or other space objects? Over.
Well, Cody, we got tons of cameras up here. We have a lot of Nikon cameras, Nikon F5 film cameras, Hasselblad 70mm film cameras. We have Kodak 760 and Nikon digital cameras and some really nice Canon digital video cameras. And one of our favorite activities is to point them down at Earth and take pictures.
Hi, this is Michael. What does Cape Cod look like from space? Can you see ponds and large sand dunes? Over.
Well, Cape Cod looks a lot like it looks on the map from space. That basic shape is colored either brown or white, depending on whether it's winter or summer or fall, and it contrasts very brightly against the water, the blue of the water. If you use a large lens or binoculars, then you can see ponds, lakes, and sometimes very, very large sand dunes, although on Cape Cod it's hard to see sand dunes. Over.
Hello, this is Giovanni. Can patterns or flow of air pollution be seen from space? Over.
Yes, they can. In fact, that's one of the things we were studying, and early this morning I was up taking pictures of spires in Southeast Australia that were sending very clear streams of smoke out over the water. And we photographed that and sent it back to scientists on the ground to study. Over.
This is Lindsay. When you are on the dark side of the Earth, what do stars and other planets look like? Over.
The stars and planets look very much like they do from the ground. The difference is from space, you don't see a twinkle. On the ground, you have a twinkle because of the air of the atmosphere and the convection in the atmosphere. Over.
Hi, this is Adam Schumann. How do you feel exploration of outer space will change our lives and our future world? Over.
Well, I think someday we're going to leave Earth. We're going to move away. I think it's coded into our genetics. We're going to move on out of our solar system, out to the stars. And we're just taking the baby steps now. Your generation will take us a lot farther, I hope. Over.
This is Michael. Do you ever get motion sickness? Over.
Yeah, I get motion sick, sometimes on roller coasters, or even if I'm flying acrobatics in an airplane when I haven't been flying in a while. The nice thing is up here in space, I really feel great most of the time. Over.
Hi, my name is Ian Liska. What got you to risk your life to go into space? Over.
Well, I wanted to come into space because what I think we're doing here is important. I think it's important to lay the groundwork for future exploration by people like you, a lot like Marconi 100 years ago started the radio revolution. Over.
Hi, this is Jessica. NASA officials on Earth. Over.
We have lots of ways to do that. We have an internet telephone. We have email. We have lots of different types of radios. We have plenty of lines of communication. Over.
Hi, this is Cooper Claycamp again. Would you volunteer for a trip deeper into space?
Over. Going into space farther. Of course, there are a lot of technical challenges, so we're a long way from that. My wife has forbidden me from going to Mars, though. She says low Earth orbit on the space station as far as I'm allowed to go. Over.
What has been the most unexpected technical spaceship problem you have had to solve while in orbit? Over.
Well, I tell you, our spaceship has been working very, very well, and we haven't had too many unexpected problems. But there was a piece of excitement a few days ago. Dawn and I were going outside on a spacewalk, and when we tried to open the hatch, the handle would only move about halfway. So we had to wiggle it and shake it, and Don shook it like the handle on his old pickup truck. Finally, we were able to get the hatch to wiggle open. But we were really glad we got to open the hatch and get outside. Over.
Hi, this is Cody again. If you could learn one new skill to help you do your job as an astronaut better, what would it be? Over.
Well, I think my weakest area is in science. I haven't spent a lot of time in a laboratory. If I had more time, that's what I would do, is broaden that side of my education. Over.
Michael, here. Is the change from living with gravity to no gravity difficult to adjust to?
No, in fact, it's very pleasant, and it's amazing how your body can adapt to the new situations up here, how comfortable it becomes working upside down or in all the different positions. Some people are a little uncomfortable for a few days, but 99.5% of the folks who fly in space get over it right away.
Hello, this is Giovanni again. Do you ever answer amateur radio operators that try to contact you without arrangements in advance? Over.
We haven't had a lot of time to do that on this flight, but we do have the radio set up, and every once in a while we'll turn it on and just talk to someone who's trying to call us. And our package comm is on all the time.
Cape Cod, time to say goodbye.
Goodbye from Cape Cod National Seashore and all the students, residents, and teachers and educators who've come here for this special program today. Okay.
NA1SF, this is W86PN Honolulu, 73, and aloha.
Nicely done. Very good contact, Nancy.
Thank you. It takes a group effort here, as I know it takes on your end, too.
Well, it does also from those youngsters there at Cape Cod. All of you sounded just wonderful coming through the system today.
Thank you very much, Nancy. That was outstanding job.
Well, the students, thank you. The students did a wonderful job, too. And Princess Marconi, that was a beautiful greeting.
Absolutely. Princess, that was fantastic.
Frank, when you're not moderating up there at Cape Cod, you're also the chairman of ARIS, which is the sponsoring group here. I think ARIS should be very proud of the work that was done here today, don't you?
Absolutely. This is an absolutely fantastic contact.
And when they're applauding, that's usually a good time to walk away while the applause is still there, don't you think?
Absolutely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you just shared a moment of history. Amateur radio station WH6PN, operated in Honolulu, Hawaii by Nancy Rotterlo and Ken Flagg, contacted astronaut Ken Bowersox aboard the International Space Station, and they talked together with students at four high schools in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Students broadcasting from the historic site where Marconi made the first international radio contact exactly 100 years ago today. WorldCom donated facilities so that we could share this occasion. And now, for the international team of ARIS, including the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, American Radio Relay League, and NASA, this is Roy Neal, amateur radio operator K6DUE, 73.
Nancy, thank you very much. I'm going to hang up, and Neil, do you want to... the line of phone?
Hello?
Hello?
Yep.
Nancy's still here.
Okay, Nancy, thank you very much. Bye-bye. I'm switching off here.